What you got?
Jim, with Darby coming back, what's his role going to be, and how do you kind of break it all up?
Yeah, you know, there's really nothing set in stone right now because we don't 100% know he's going to be back. I mean, he's trending the right way. Was back on the practice field yesterday, and, you know, he was back on the practice field last week doing some scout team stuff. So that'll sort of develop as we go. We've got contributions from a lot of different guys this year. I would expect that to stay the same, but it would be nice. When we do get him back, it'll be nice to get him back. It's been since the opener.
So now, Sewell would still have a role even when Darby comes back?
Yeah, you know, the way those DBs work, it's just a matter of time before they're out there. Everybody has a role somewhere along the line, and we'll try to stay. We'll try to keep that in place and try to keep a lot of people involved. We've done that by necessity and also by plan so far this year.
And linebacker Elwood, now to see him fitting.
That's another one yet to be seen. You know, he's a veteran player. He's played different positions. He's played different schemes. So a lot of times, getting those guys up to speed is really just a matter of getting terminology right and things like that. He hasn't been on the field for a pretty long time, so there's semblance of getting back in football shape too. We'll let that play out and see where it goes. But it's good to have a veteran player there that has a lot of experience, and he's got both of those.
Is he meeting with Joe Walker as a baseman linebacker?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll start him probably learning all three positions, and then also the nickel and the nickel Sam position, and we'll just see where it goes.
Why do it that way instead of trying to, if he has a lot on his plate, trying to learn the defense? Why?
If he was a rookie, it might be a little bit different, but he's a veteran player, and he's played all of those positions in the past. And, you know, when you come in halfway through the season, I mean, he's going to have to be available wherever it comes up, and we'll just see where that takes us. But I think the thing that gives us confidence there is there's nothing that we're going to ask him to do that he hasn't done somewhere along the line, and there's nothing that he's learning for the very first time. It's all a matter of getting terminology down and things and getting in football shape. Those are really his challenges.
When Darby is up to speed, do you anticipate him starting? I believe he was on the left side initially, right?
He was.
Would he go back to that?
I would, most likely. Most likely. We've had guys switch position. Well, yeah, we wouldn't line two people up on the left.
Yeah, but I know, but Jalen's been – my point
right.
is Jalen spent most of the season on the left.
Right, yeah, since the second game.
Right.
Yeah, when Darby got hurt in the opener, we just plugged the other guys in on the left side. He's played the left a long time. Those guys can all play both positions. They can all play both sides. I think that's important. You know, and again, this is further on down the line, but if we get in positions where we want to match a receiver – he has the ability to do that. To give you an example, last week on the practice field, he took turns at both sides. And I think that's just for overall development. You know, the one thing is if there's two wide receivers and corners have to match, you're going over to the right side anyway. So both guys have to be able to play both positions. But the position that we sort of settled him in to start the season was the left corner spot. And I would anticipate when he's healthy and ready to go that that he would move back into a spot like that.
When you're game planning for Dallas, how different are they without Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, possibly Tyron Smith at left tackle?
Well, we saw that in the last game last year. You know, we didn't see Elliott and we didn't see Tyron Smith. So, I mean, certainly not worse to play them without those guys. Elliott, they run the same runs, you know, and you have to defend the runs the same way. But, you know, Elliott's a strong back that has great vision. He's good in the pass game as well as the run game, and he's a key part of their offense. They can plug the other guys in, but, you know, and I speak for, you know, ourselves on defense, there's nothing like having your starters in there. You know, and I'm referring to Darby. It's nothing like other guys can fill in, you can accomplish the scheme, but it's nothing like having the guys that you want out there. And, you know, Tyron Smith gives them the ability to do so much with their pass protection and have a guy that doesn't require any help, that doesn't require chips. There's a lot of little nuances that play within their offensive line that he allows them to play because he can lock a guy down, and, you know, he's an outstanding player. So obviously it changes when he's not in there. It affects their run blocking. It also affects their play action, affects their drop back. It affects their empty coverage. I mean, their empty packages. You know, it filters through all that stuff. So we'll be ready for him if he does get back, and we'll have a plan and be ready if he doesn't.
With Duke Dernigan, is he kind of like up to speed in terms of knowing your scheme? And I asked that obviously because of the contract, and this is a guy that the team thinks can be here long term. Or does he, or has he yet to hit really kind of assert the ceiling in terms of learning the scheme?
No, I think the learning part is pretty much over with. He pretty much put that to bed. There was some learning curve in training camp. You know, it's one thing making strides in the off-season program, but the contact is so limited there, it's really hard to play some of the techniques that you're playing without launching into an offensive lineman. But in training camp, you know, that learning curve was a little bit steep for him. He had some rough spots, but he came out of it. I think the only thing, you know, recently he's been battling some injuries and has done a really good job staying on the field with those. But as far as knowledge of the scheme, knowledge of the techniques, he had all that mastered. He's been a good player. We're really excited to have him in the future.
As a follow-up to that, this franchise made a big investment in him. Why is he worth that investment?
He's a very disruptive player. He fits in well with the other guys up front. He's good against the run and good against the pass. He's made a lot of tackles for losses for us. His presence has been felt whenever he's been out there. And it's allowed us to play a different way behind him, too, when you can get pressure. You know, we probably blitz a little bit more this year than we have in the past, but our base is still four-man pass rush and guys that can win one-on-ones, and he can do that.
What have you seen out of the Cowboys' O-line? Obviously some guys out, but Falcons look like they were able to get to Dak pretty easily last week.
Well, that is what it is. You know, they hadn't given up very many sacks all season coming into that game, and it's not just protection, it's the quarterback. You know, there's been a lot of plays, and they might have taken more sacks in that game if Prescott hadn't been able to get away. And Claiborne had another one in his hands. He might have had 7 sacks in that game. So it's not just defeating the protection. You have to be able to finish out the quarterback. We've experienced that a couple times this year, most recently with Cam Newton. But it requires a lot of different layers. Number one, stopping the run and creating pass situations. Number two, beating the protection, beating a man in protection, and number three, being able to finish at the quarterback. And I'll add number four is being able to cover long enough for your pass rush to get there. All those things will go hand in hand, us having a good day rushing. You can't just assume we'll have a good day rushing based on what they did last week. I'm sure they'll work really hard to shore up some of their spots. And, you know, I mean, they know us pretty well. We know them pretty well.
Jim Corey on them was saying that you value input from Malcolm and some of the other veterans. Where has that feedback been most valuable?
I don't know that. I don't know. That happens so often that it's really hard to put a finger on. I mean, not only on a daily basis, but in between periods in practice and after practice, you know, and it's not just Malcolm, but, you know, a lot of the veteran players, even some of the younger players have provided some pretty good insight. And I won't even stop there. A lot of times our offensive scout team players give us good input. And the quarterback, Nick Foles, will tell us what he's seeing and, you know, this fooled me or this didn't fool me. Offensive line, Josh Andrews does a great job for us on the scout team. And, you know, we'll run blitzes and you know, not really draw it up from a card, but give him a chance to try to figure it out and to try to beat it. And that, you know, that comes back significantly to help us game plan and to help us refine our scheme.
Jim, what's your evaluation of Prescott and how he stands on his own outside of, you know, his ties to Ezekiel Elliott and how he helps the offense?
You know, I know I've been around the NFL for a pretty long time now. I don't know if I've ever seen a better thrower on the run than Dak Prescott. He can throw scrambling to his left. He can throw scrambling to his right. There's not many quarterbacks that can do that. He can threaten the whole field on the run. He doesn't have to reset the throw. And he's very accurate on the run. I think that's probably, I mean, there's a lot of mobile quarterbacks. There's a lot of guys that can throw from the pocket. He can do both of those. But as far as throwing on the run, you know, and I'll go back, there's a lot of guys that can run read option. he can do that. But I think what really makes him stand out is that he can throw on the run. He's accurate throwing on the run. And for a young player, he makes very few mistakes. That's impressed me also.
What does that mean for him in the pocket?
I don't know. Inside the pocket, outside the pocket, really doesn't matter as long as you're getting stops. He can do damage in the pocket. He can make all those throws. You know, I think there's a combination of coverage and pass rush that have to go hand in hand, and even pressure. All three of those things have to go hand in hand.
With his ability to throw on the run as a defense, what do you have to do, especially to limit his effectiveness there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little different as far as the timing goes. A lot of times the guy's on the run, and again, particularly to his left, where he has to reset the throw, so it gives you a little bit more time to make up ground in coverage. He doesn't allow that because he can turn his upper body and then throw, you know, going away from his arm, like I said, better than anybody I can recall. So it's more just the timing, the urgency. The ball can come out at any time. Some guys will scramble, and you have time to chase a guy in coverage or to plaster your coverage or, you know, chase him and get an extra guy to him. With Prescott, he doesn't give you that opportunity. That ball can come out at any time, and you have to be ready for it at any time.
You've seen injuries a little bit from the quarterbacks have mixed results. How do you practice that, and how do you stop it?
Well, we practice it in training camp against our offense, so that's where it starts. Every game's a little bit different. Sometimes you take an approach in a game that, you know, as long as you don't get a big play out of it, you're okay. Other games, you devote more resources to it. This is probably a game that we're going to have to devote some resources to it, particularly short yardage, red zone, times like that. There's times that quarterbacks, are a lot more – their ability to run a zone read is a lot more – it's important to stop it in those situations. There's other times you can live with the gain of 6 or 7 yards and then play a second down play or a third down play. I think it's not just about replacing one player. It's the output of the whole group, and it's the output of the entire defense. And I think that they've done a pretty good job so far. We got a long way to go.
Beasley's numbers are down, particularly on third down. I mean, what are you seeing with him this year? Are they just looking someplace else?
Yeah, I mean, he looks exactly the same. He's tough. He's a tough out. He's quick. He runs great routes. And he's got speed to get down the field. I think that's one thing that's underestimated with him. He's a little bit sneaky, but he can get down the field too. They have an outstanding group. They have a Hall of Fame tight end, big play wide receiver. They've added some other wide receivers. They can all make plays. Quarterback can threaten every single one. They really don't have a favorite receiver or, you know, one guy they're going to all the time, even though they certainly want to get the ball to Dez Bryant. I think it's just a matter of the way it's come out so far. I wouldn't, at least from a defensive standpoint, it hasn't been a drop off in his play. I think it's just been more circumstance. All right, Mark.